Hey everybody, before we get started with this episode, I just want to correct something that we say in it really quick. As we're talking about Arnold Shortman from Hey Arnold, get on the topic of Mr. Nguyen for a little bit, and I guess that he was a Chinese immigrant. I looked into it since then and ended up finding out that he was not only from Vietnam, but that he was born in 1949, and the point where his daughter was taken away from him was in the actual battle from the Vietnam War, the fall of Saigon. So, just wanted to correct that before we get going. And, like I said in the episode, this one goes completely off the rails. I had an absolutely amazing time recording it with my friend Sade. And I'm keeping the edited audio of this one. So if anyone's interested in hearing it, I'm going to be uploading it on Patreon for the $10, I believe that's the ape question mark. Either way, the $10 level. So if you're on that, or if you want to hear it, go ahead and sign up. Just go to Patreon and search character progression. It should come right up. Or you can go to patreon.com/character progression, whichever you find easier. I haven't asked this in a while, so please rate and review this podcast on whatever platform or app you use to listen to it, and I hope you enjoy the episode. All right, so we got into it a little bit before we started talking, but just say again how you discovered Hey Arnold.
So I discovered Hey Arnold. I want to say I was around like 8 or 9, and it was Harriet the Spy that was out in theaters, and I saw the short that happened prior, and it was just like a just a little short by Craig Bartlett about his upcoming show. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Weird-headed kids, I'm all about that. And so when that took off and it was a really big hit with audiences, he made his big premiere October 7th, 1996, and it was Downtown as Fruits. And I was like, I'm in it. Yes, stop it. Yes, struck oil. And it was just the Harriet the Spy. I was like, you know what? I love Michelle Trachtenberg, and I'm in with whatever she's about to do. And I have the box set. I'm in love with it. It's just it's such a great show.
That's my cat. She
She
agrees.
agrees, and she's all about it, and I love it. She's on my side.
Yeah, Phoebe's her favorite. But hey, everybody, welcome to the new episode of Character Progression. I'm your host, Dan Brown, and my guest today is my friend Sade. What's up, Sade?
What's up? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I think everyone can already tell we're talking about Hey Arnold. So, for anyone who isn't aware, what is this show and who is Arnold as a character?
So this show is about Arnold, or Arnold Shortman, as we find out later, and it's just about his random, wacky adventures through inner city. Well, Craig Bartlett said it's a mix of Seattle, Brooklyn, and what was it? Seattle, Brooklyn, and like some other inner city, and it's just kind of a big kibosh of just random things. And he just Arnold goes on adventures with his best friend Gerald and his other classmates, and just deal with growing up and deal with finding out how to be a good friend and how to be a good person, how to show compassion, and how to, you know, help others that can't help you. And Arnold is just this fourth grader who is trying to get through life the best he can and meeting different people along the way and how to really just be a good person and to be as helpful as he can with whatever he can. And he pulls at my heartstrings whenever I see him.
All right, so then what about his character specifically, like, pulls on those heartstrings and speaks to you.
So with Arnold, he is technically an orphan. He does have a family. He has his grandparents, and then he also has a house full of boarders that you would question at any turn. But they're just all lovable weirdos. And he is a person where he will stick his neck out for you. And what I love about Arnold is that he doesn't have his parents like a traditional kid would. He doesn't have the traditional upbringing of, oh, you know, these are my parents, these are my grandparents, we live separately. Oh, these are, I don't live with random strangers, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a fourth grader and I have to collect rent from different border members. And, you know, with him, what makes him such a great character is that he really does stick his neck out for his friends. And he, you know, will really just be a person that is, you know what, I don't know you that well, and you might love pigeons. You might be stuck on your stoop for so many years.
But those are my two favorite episodes.
They're so great. They're season one. And
both of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both season one, and it's like, I didn't know this show got so heavy so early on.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Bartlett is a hero. And it's one of those things where, like, this kid who just really wants to do right, and that just really stuck with me, where he would always get made fun of, and he'd always be the person where, like, oh, Arnold, you're so crazy. But, you know, he really ended up making always such a big impact, and that was just one thing where, you know what, I want to be like that. I want to be that shining light of, you know what, things aren't always crap. things aren't the worst that it can be, because, you know, you need someone to just kind of help you along the way, and that's what I love Arnold for.
All right, since we mentioned them already, what are the stories for anyone who's not familiar with the Stoop Kid or the Pigeon Man?
Oh my gosh. So with all the stories that we have, I mean, season one got so deep so fast, no one was ready for it, and Nickelodeon or my 8-year-old self with some of the stories that stick out is Pigeon Man, and that is a story of Arnold coming across a guy that really just loves birds, and he doesn't understand people. People don't understand him, so he decides to just keep himself and people separate. Arnold finds him, and Pigeon Man helps one of his pet birds back to health, and he decides, oh, I want to learn more about this Pigeon Man. I've heard the lures from Gerald. I want to know about you. And while they're out having a delicious spaghetti dinner, Harold and his crew wreck his whole pigeon setup.
Harold is the bully.
Harold is the bully. And we dive into more of his character throughout the series, but right now we don't like him. And he wrecks Pigeon Man's bird setup, and they come back from dinner, and Pigeon Man is sad, Arnold is sad for him, and Pigeon Man decides that it is time for him to go to another city, to go somewhere else, and he understands that he is just different, and sometimes people don't understand different, but his ending message is that he hopes that there is an Arnold wherever he goes, and tears ensue, and he flies off into the sunset, and it's just one of those things where even though he ended up leaving and he couldn't stay and he was just a big ball of emotions, he did appreciate the kindness that one kid, one little fourth grader showed him, and that really did set with me. Another one that was a heavy-handed in season one was Mugged.
I don't remember that one.
Mugged, when Arnold was just, it was nighttime, and he was on his way back to the boarding house from the library. I think it was the library. And he gets pushed into an alley by a mugger, and a mugger asks him for money or whatever he has, and all he had was his bus pass. So he took his bus pass, pushed him into a garbage can. And so his grandmother is like, no, 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 we're going to teach you karate. And so Arnold gets a little self-confidence. He starts defending himself and other people more. And then one night, when with all this confidence, he beats up a kid that he thinks is a threat. Ends up as just a really nice kid that wants to know where the bus station is. And so it just, it's a, one of those episodes that teaches you compassion and mercy, and just because you're afraid doesn't mean that you have to resort to violence or to resort to something else. And so season one was a full of so many emotions and full of so many deep lessons. I would say even, oh, another one, Arnold's Christmas. Remember that tearjerker?
Maybe.
Mr. Wynn.
Oh, yeah. Was that the one with his daughter?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the one with his daughter where Arnold got Mr. Wynn as a secret Santa. And
Mr. Wynn is one of the boarders that lives with his grandparents. He is a Chinese immigrant?
I want to say maybe they said something towards it, but I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Okay.
But he is...
He's an immigrant from Asia.
Correct. And he was trying to escape, a long time ago before he got to the boarding house, he was trying to escape a war, and the helicopter that was leaving his village could only take one person. And so they took his toddler daughter, Mai, and they told him a city that she's going to be in, and it was Elwood. And so that's why he moved to Elwood. And it's been 10 years, and he hasn't found her. And so Arnold, being the sweetheart that he is, he wants to try to reunite them, and he tags along with Helga. So they try to find Mr. Wynn's daughter, and they come across this man that could look up in a database to see where she is, where she lives, and he says, well, I can't do it, it's Christmas. And so he says, if you do all of my Christmas shopping for me, then maybe I can have time. So they do all of his lists. They, you know, they run around town like crazies, and they come back and said, well, your list is finished. And the man says, well, actually, it's really late. I have to go. So Arnold goes back to the boarding house, and Helga goes back home and finds out that one of the things on their list that they didn't get were Nancy Spumoni snow boots, which are amazing animated, and I wish they existed. And she finds out when Helga goes home that her parents did the one good thing they ever did and got her some Nancy Spumoni snow boots. And she, you know.
What about instilling in her a love of beepers?
Oh, you know what? Beepers, they were going to last. Not really.
Yeah,
not ever.
They'll come back. They'll be retro.
Yeah, they'll be retro, and everyone will have them like Tamagotchis.
There'll be a beeper app.
How long can you keep 8008 alive?
I can keep 8008 alive forever.
But you have to have two to next to each other.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's the only way it's going to work. And
what was it? 5318008. Then you only need one, because then it's just boobies.
Ooh, and now you're just nasty.
That's why they call me Miss Jackson.
Is it like a bushel?
Yes.
Is it like
a bushel of boobies?
You can have a bushel of boobies. So like, oh, okay. Like,
that's a good band name. If anyone's listening and is trying to put together a band, Bushel of Boobies, you can have it.
You're welcome, and we need tickets.
Yes.
No.
If you're good.
Even if you're bad, you know what?
That's awesome.
We'll show up.
Yeah.
We'll work your merch table.
Yes.
Because you're going to need it, because your band name's a Bushel of Boobies.
I'll buy a shirt.
you're committed to a shirt? I think I would do a bumper sticker.
Okay.
But like, it has to be like a good symbol.
Not just two boobs?
No. Maybe like the beaver with a
Yes. Yes.
In a pentagram.
We're doing so much work for this band.
Listen, you're welcome in advance, but I need it.
Yes. But anyway, so the Nancy Spumoni boots.
Yes, the Nancy Spumoni boots. She finds out, you know, well, Helga realizes that this is what Mr. Wynn would need to find his daughter. And the best part of that is she goes back to the guy, let's stay up all night to make sure this thing happens. And so later that night, Arnold's trying to figure out a way to tell Mr. Wynn, hey, you were my secret Santa, but this is what happened. I couldn't do this thing for you. Knock on the door ensues, and it is Mai at the door. And they reunite Mr. Wynn and his daughter, and Arnold is just baffled of like, I don't know how this happened. I thought this wouldn't happen. And it's just Helga in the snow saying, Merry Christmas, Arnold. And it's one of those things where it tugs at your heartstrings, and the fact that he still to this day doesn't know that was her. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how it happened. But it's a reoccurring theme in this show that shows that with Arnold being so gung-ho and his kindness and his compassion, that it can trickle down to other people that he comes in contact with, of like, you know, you should do this right thing. You should want the best for others, even if they can't help you. And I love that that's such a reoccurring theme of the show.
And it especially makes sense in that episode with Helga, because Helga, for anyone who hasn't seen it, she's another bully. She has a crush on Arnold, but she's afraid to show it because she's afraid to come across as vulnerable, because she has a really terrible home life. She has an older sister who's very smart, very accomplished. She's like a concert pianist and like is in Doctors Without Borders and all these things. And Helga has always just been in this sister's shadow. So her way of not letting it bother her was to not let anything bother her, not let any emotions out. So Helga doing something like this for Arnold that wouldn't even benefit her at all, and Arnold would never find out it was her, really comes across as this big character moment for her, where you kind of see her potential.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And also, it isn't hurt that Helga has a huge boner for Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the whole series, and that's just, you know... But also, it's something...
What's the quote? He makes her femininity quiver.
Ooh, quiver. That quiver femininity. That's also a band name.
Yes.
You're welcome.
That needs to be an all women band.
That's like, that she opens, they open up for Bikini Kill.
Yes.
Yeah, I do love... I mean, Helga is... I don't relate to Helga in any way, shape, or form. I think she's a delight whenever I see her on screen. I love watching her little excursions with different people in her class, like mostly it was with Phoebe, but I do love watching her and how she interacts and how she deals with things. But at the end of the day, she is really just a sweet girl that just got a bad deal of family cards.
Yeah. With a dad who's overbearing and a mom who's an alcoholic.
Yes, exactly. Those smoothies.
Yeah.
You know what? I would love those smoothies.
I mean, they look delicious.
They looked really good. They look like, but you know what? They look like too many ingredients.
Yeah.
She's like putting pickles in there and like Worcestershire.
She's making like Bloody Marys.
Is that a
Bloody?
But Bloody Marys don't need ice, do they need ice?
Or pickles, but you know what? It's to each their own, I guess.
I guess. I mean, either way, they're going to leave you incapacitated at 2.
Yeah.
Or you pack your daughter's lunch with shaving cream and napkins.
Yes.
It's well balanced.
It is, because your essential creams.
And all your essential creams. I think I have a theory is that I think Helga was a late in life baby.
Okay.
Because Bob, which is Helga's dad, is the only dad that's not Phil, which is Arnold's grandparent, that has gray hair.
Yeah, and her older sister, Olga, is like...
In college.
Yeah. Considerably older than she is.
Right, so I feel like, you know, one... night Miriam had too many smoothies and was like, let's do this, and you know, that's my theory. I don't know if that's just the Bieber empire is just stressful AF.
It might be.
I mean, there's a line out the door, but I don't know, I'm not sure, but I do love Helga. What I do love about Hey Arnold is that, like, around that time when Nickelodeon had all of these shows, they focused on their main cast. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, what are they doing? Let's follow them. Only, oh, their parents are here. Cool. Let's talk to them for a second, and let's go on with our story. But I liked a lot of the times the parents and the adults and people that are not Arnold have their own story.
Yeah. Arnold's just in tangentially.
Yes, they're well-rounded, and we figure out why they are the way they are, you know, with Mr. Wynn. We would have never gotten that story in other types of animated shows. With Ernie, later on in the series, we find out that he's trying to date a woman, and she doesn't want to date him because he's too short. Things like Mr. Simmons and his Thanksgiving, and how that really is a dumpster fire for him.
Yeah.
And, well, you know.
That's, I think they really delved into a lot of that stuff with taking advantage of the fact that more than probably any other show I can think of, animated or otherwise, had so much representation with such a multicultural cast.
Mm-hmm.
because Harold's Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald's black. Phoebe's Asian.
She's half Asian.
She was half Asian?
Mm-hmm. Her dad is Japanese and her mom is Caucasian.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
But they talked about it.
Okay. So still, like, a mixed race character.
It's Hey Arnold is so diverse in the sense of ethically. Also, socioeconomically.
Yeah.
With Lila being dirt poor and Rhonda being this spoiled brat. And also, so many that are in the middle. And they talked about it, and they weren't shy to go into, you know, like, oh, they have this. And I never did like Lila. I never did like Lila, but I felt bad not liking her.
Right.
Because she was basically just dirt poor. Like, if someone, like, spit nickels in her direction, she would have wanted to go for it. But
right.
She came to school, and you would have never known it.
Yeah. They even had, like, this southern kind of trashy kid.
Yes.
And on the socioeconomic side, all of the boarders except for Ernie were immigrants.
Yes. And they couldn't afford a regular house or apartment by themselves, so that's why they all live with 20 other adults, which, you know, 2019, and that, if you live in Orlando, that feels like it shouldn't be the, it doesn't change at
yeah,
all.
No, that's life.
that is life, guys.
I'm telling all 19 of my roommates to just be quiet right now.
They're like all under the floorboards. So let them fool you.
That's not even a little bit crazy.
But you do love them all, and they all became the pseudo family.
Yeah.
You know, and I do love that theme of Hey Arnold, where Arnold doesn't have the traditional mom, dad family, but, you know, his family, his adopted family, you know, because his grandparents are his real ones, but the people that live in his building, they'll do anything for him. And sometimes the family you choose is better than the family that is given to you. Case in point, Helga Chipataki.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, Phoebe was the best sister she ever had, even though she wasn't related to her.
I know, but also there was that weird episode with Olga where she's like, you think I like doing this? You think I like having, you know, because she is a concert pianist. She gets straight A's. She is perfect. She knows how to cook everything. And there was that one prank that Helga was like, I'm going to change one A to a B. And it destroyed her life. So, you know, when they had a talk, when Helga told her it was me that changed your A to your B, she's like, you know, you think I like this. I don't like it. I don't like being the prized possession of mom and dad. You know, I'd really like to hang out with you more and get to know you. But that's also another character where it's like, oh, we're going to hate her. It's like, no, don't make us like her.
Yeah.
Don't make us do that, please.
Yeah, she's the goody two-shoes, but she's real. I think that's the thing. Like, every character on
it's
the show is
to some
real.
Point. Yeah. Definitely. With Harold, you brought him up with season two. It's when he found a kitten and he's in love with his kitten, finds out the kitten belongs to his old neighbor that yells at him all the time. That's actually her cat. And he's like, I'm not giving this cat up to you. No, you're mean to me. And so Arnold finds himself in the sense of a basically just like a hostage situation, like talk down of like, Arnold, Harold, you need to give this cat back. And he's giving him all the reasons. And Arnold, again, he never means to be this hero. And that's what I do like about Arnold, that he's never been like, I'm the vigilante. I'm going to set everything right. He's that person where, you know what, if I'm given the opportunity to do the right thing, I'm going to do the right thing. And so he goes up to Harold and is like, listen, you should probably give the owner of this cat her cat back. And so he talks him down a ledge. He does the right thing. And later on, certain characters do kind of make fun of Arnold being that person where it's like, oh, you're always going to do the thing that makes sense. It's like, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's I think maybe ashamed of it for like one like 15-minute segment. And then he's like, no, you know what? Like, this is who I am. Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. And it's a shirt, not a kill.
Yes.
Get it right, everyone.
So then, are there any moments we haven't gone over yet that specifically stand out to you as like, this is why I chose Arnold, this is why Arnold still has an impact on me?
I would definitely say that the reason why I do love Arnold, and it sounds so, I don't know if it's contradictory, but it's the reason why I do love Arnold is because it's not always about Arnold, as weird as that sounds. You know, Arnold, he is such an influencer with the, not just the series, but the movies.
Yeah.
If you guys ever seen the movies, I had a countdown on my calendar. I'm in there for that theatrical release because they were just teasing it all over Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw it, it was just one of those things where, like, it just really drives home the whole point of the series. And that's what I did love about it, because it's just this one almost 10-year-old kid that's like, I'm going to save this neighborhood. And everyone's like, shut up. Like,
yeah.
Like, we're a Walmart now. Like, move along. But, you know, the fact that this kid, with his tenacity and his belief that if you do good, good things will come. Maybe not entirely the way you want, but something's going to come out of that. Like, even the opening scene of that movie is, you know, Gerald like, oh, our ball is flat. And Arnold's like, oh, no, it's just a little low on air. And Gerald says, why do you always have to look on the bright side? And Arnold responds with, because someone has to. And that's such a big impactor, I think, out of, like, the whole series, is that, you know what, you're right, because if we were all just a bunch of pessimistic assholes, can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you already did, so.
It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
That's true.
If everyone was just walking around just like, oh, this all sucks, oh, this is all awful. What an existence. That just would be awful. But mm-hmm. Arnold's like, listen, like, it's just a little low on air. There's still good here.
Yeah.
And I did like that message. And that always sticks out to me. He's he's not like, come on, guys, let's sing a song. Do, 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 do. He's just trying to be more realistic. And even with other characters, Eugene.
Yeah.
He breaks his literal bones every 4 weeks.
His bones are his bike or both.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, man, this guy sucks, but he's showing up to rehearsal for some sort of play, and he's like, everything's great, I'm not dying inside. You know, and I did like that, because there's an episode where Harold, Eugene, Arnold were stuck, like, up a tree.
Yeah.
And he was just singing the whole time, and Harold was like, I'm going to kill you. Everyone was like, please stop. And I do like the theme of, the themes always balance between hope and disappointment. And I think it's a good, healthy balance of learning both with Phoebe and her Ronnie Matthews.
I don't remember that
one. I saw your face and wow.
I don't remember that at all.
So Ronnie Matthews was a teen sensation that Phoebe was really obsessed with, and she won a contest that she kind of submitted secretly because she didn't want anyone to see her lose. Her very stoic, like, oh, you know, that's cool. So she entered a contest. She loves this teen sensation, Ronnie Matthews. She picks a friend to go with her. It's Helga. And it's this guy that sings a lot of pop songs and is, like, super jazzy, and finds out that he lip syncs all of his songs. He doesn't even write his songs. Mm-hmm. And she is devastated. And at the end of it, she won the contest to hang out with him. She did. And then, you know, he's says, all right, well, that was fun, and leaves. And so Helga is there with Phoebe saying, you know, sometimes you shouldn't meet your heroes, but sometimes you shouldn't worship them like you do. And she's like, yeah, it's true. And that's pretty much how it ends, of her just realizing, you know what, his songs were what they were, but I shouldn't put so much stock into someone. But it's okay to like the things you like Peace Lifters.
Yes. I mean, there's two types of people in the world. Those who love Taylor Swift and liars.
I love Taylor Swift.
She's wonderful.
She's wonderful, you know? It's just like, she's good, bad, like a trans fat.
That's my favorite thing I've ever heard.
You know what?
Can that be slang now for things that are good, bad? Like, oh, did you see this movie? Yeah, it's just trans fat.
Totes trans fat.
Hashtag trans fat.
Teens, give me your money. It's patent pending.
So all you have to do is get Drake to say it once, and it'll be there forever.
In a rhythmic rhyme.
Or not.
Or not. Or not. Just say it outright.
Yeah.
Can you say it on TRL? Is TRL a thing? No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think I've watched MTV teens. In like a decade.
Teens, I'm sorry.
Hey, teens, is TRL a thing? You can say it back. We'll hear you, I promise.
No, we're like 100. Remember, our hearing is bad.
Oh,
we can't
yes.
hear them.
Back in my day, phones were connected to the wall.
Back in my day, I had to walk 15 miles in the snow to get to TRL.
I had to hold up a sign so that Lauryn Hill would know that I was also miseducated.
Because the education system let me walk 15 miles in the snow.
I had a sign that said, "Who is Jill Scott?" I know that's the name of the album, but also I didn't know. So I had to hold up a sign so someone would tell me.
Oh.
You're welcome, Jill Scott, for being referenced
You're
in
welcome.
Something.
Give us tickets.
Does she still perform? I don't know.
I think she does. You know what? She still performs and she listens to this podcast.
Hell yeah.
Because she's a huge Helga Geraldine Pataki fan.
Yes. You know what, Jill Scott? You rock. That song that you were famous for that I forgot is a great song.
I hear it in my dreams.
Yes. Yes, hashtag trans fat. Okay. That's good podcasting, right? Like a 30-second just giggle break.
Giggle fast, man. You need it.
That's true. But okay.
You endorphins and happy people don't kill people.
No, not their husbands, anyway.
Not their husbands, exactly.
But I have an exercise today.
Oh, shit. Tell that to your people under the floorboards.
I'm sorry, Elle Woods. I let you down.
She's disappointed.
She is.
You let down our sacred wreath. Who names their child after a candy? I don't understand.
You don't have to understand. She
it's not meant for me.
She introduced her dog with a last name. It doesn't matter.
Nothing matters. Everything's anarchy. Got it.
All because of Legally Blonde. Let's be honest, Legally Blonde too.
Another round of riots. Let's go. I trust you guys to make this happen.
Yes. Red, white, and blonde. It's the end of days.
Red, white, and blood.
Damn.
That is the next sequel. Do you not know?
I didn't, but I'm down. I will watch it.
It's like a sexy purge.
I want to watch a sexy purge movie starring Reese Witherspoon as Elle Woods. This sounds amazing.
Your body will be very confused and turned on.
Like it is in most Reese Witherspoon things.
Oh, you're right. God damn you, Felipe. What's his name, Felipe?
I don't remember.
Christ's husband.
Oh.
Ryan Felipe.
Sure, okay.
It's in that movie where, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar and...
Scooby-Doo?
No. Where Sarah Michelle Gellar kisses that...
Oh, the other woman that...
Yeah, like a spit trail.
Cruel Intentions?
There you go. He's
okay.
in that.
Okay.
He's the main guy. That's Ryan's cousin.
Oh. Okay.
Red, white, and blood. I need you. Listen, you guys, I need you to make this happen, Sunfest. Are you listening?
Facebook crossovers no one asked for. Like, get on this.
We asked for it.
Yeah, we're asking
Do
now.
Do not discredit us.
We're asking now. Somebody make this a thing. If any of our listeners are Reese Witherspoon, hey, what's up? Hey, Reese.
Red, white, and blood. Buster's Revenge.
Sweet Home Alabama is underrated. But yeah, Buster's Revenge.
Starring Sarah McLachlan.
She sings in the arms of an angel, yes. And just the bruiser goes nuts and just starts like ripping throats out.
That's his trigger.
It's most people's triggers.
Oh, it is.
I was at a karaoke night one time, and somebody got up and sang that, and like half the crowd just left.
No.
Yeah.
Sarah.
That song is synonymous with sad puppies now. Nobody wants to sit and listen to that.
I know, but that's how you... Weird Al Yankovic needs to get on this, and he needs to parody it.
Hashtag save Sarah McLachlan's career. When's the last time there was a Lilith Fair? Come on, you gotta fix this.
You guys are slacking. Dakota? Is it Dakota? Where does this happen?
I don't know. Dakota. It's the one state of Dakota.
You guys just stop fighting and become one Dakota.
Like the city of Dakota from Static Shock.
Listen, you're not Korea. Just become one Dakota.
Shit.
Oh my god.
Why did this get political?
I'm sorry, Mr. Witt. I'm sorry. Where are you from?
I don't care.
Just stop fighting. It's Christmas. Stop
fighting. This is my new favorite Christmas movie. Fuck you, Die Hard.
What's it called?
Legally Blonde 3 Bruisers Revenge. Red, White, and Blood.
It's like a Steven Seagal movie. No, Rocky Balboa movie.
Rambo.
Both. Rambo. All of them.
Rocky, Seagal, and Rambo will all be in this.
Yes, I hope so.
I watch it.
Give them money.
Yes.
Make them happen. Make it happen.
Michael B. Jordan and Creed can be the love interest.
Ooh, I like it.
But that's only because I don't care about your sexuality. He's gorgeous.
He is a beautiful man. And he knows it, and that's why I'm not 100% there. I'm like a good, like, 70-30.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm like, listen, if you know you're cute, it's not cute.
That's true.
Automatically.
So you're more Donald Glover then? Because he acts like he doesn't know.
I know, he acts ugly, but he's not. And maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe it's like, maybe it's
there's
so
a lot
weird.
Of makeup.
Maybe he's a Muppet.
God, I hope Donald Glover's a Muppet.
What if he's not real?
Do you understand how happy that would make me?
Why?
Because then I picture the new Lion King movie that's coming out, and somebody, like, holding a Muppet's head up to the microphone of Donald Glover, and then underneath just looking up, speaking, so that he could voice, "Just Can't Wait to Be King."
Oh, you know what? I really wish there's a cut in the new Lion King. You know when the Muppets, when they have the movies, and it's like, "We're going to see the sights." And they're just like, they're like bopping around Paris, and they're just like, meh, like this awful puppetry.
With just Simba and Nala, because I want Beyonce to do that. I imagine that's
like,
how she
oh,
walks around
they're
anyway.
They're just like flapping their faces. Oh, Elves in Graveyard. And then it cuts back to really great, like, CGI.
Everything the light touches is our kingdom. Let's go see everything the light touches.
And they're like super choppy. And it's like, yeah, this is great. They have, like, a Polaroid camera.
And look, here's that wildebeest gorge. Nothing bad has happened yet. Soon you'll cry. Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. Walt Disney, reshoot.
Yes.
I know it's coming out, but do it over.
Hey, look, here's the grass. That's what we become. And then the antelope eat it. That's the circle of life.
Finn.
Yes. Ooh, fancy with a little apostrophe.
Ooh. They don't have money for that apostrophe.
Disney doesn't have apostrophe
nope.
money?
Nope.
Oh, poor Disney. Spent too much money on Star Wars and Marvel.
That was it. That's all they have now.
That's it. Those and Donald Duck. Not Mickey. Not Goofy.
Listen, they're making him pants.
I don't want Donald to wear pants.
You've never felt a little uncomfortable?
No, I assume that, like, look, Donald has nephews.
Okay.
Goofy wears pants, has a son.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a theory that all the Disney characters that wear pants fuck.
Ooh. What about a onesie?
Maybe a onesie. I can accept him in a onesie.
When he goes to the beach, he has, like, a onesie.
That's true.
Situation.
But then Tigger has a onesie that he wears when he goes to bed, but he's naked all day. I never understood that.
His nuts get cold.
Yeah, Christopher Robin's got a fucked up imagination.
Listen, where are his parents? Where are they?
Not the 100-acre wood.
No, it's not.
They're in the 101st acre.
Oh, does Tigger really wear a pajama to
yes,
bed?
He wears a pajama-like onesie with the, like, buttons for the butt flap.
Oh, that's for shit.
Yeah, he wears that to bed at night, but he's naked all day.
He's got to save his modesty for the Lord.
That's,
like, he sleeps.
That's true. You don't know what happens when you're asleep, but you don't want it to look bad.
You don't want your 100-acre wood to be just... Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no! That's not where I was going, but I'm happy I got there. What's the name of our band name?
Bushel and Boobies?
Here we go. I almost forgot it. You can't take it. Not until we say.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you can do it and just Venmo.
I mean, we have we have a couple weeks before this episode goes live. We can start it in that time.
Exactly. And then you can buy it off of us.
Yes.
What's it called?
You hear that, Gerard Way, for your next band? We got it.
We have it for you. It's waiting in an unmarked envelope.
And that's just someone who already has a ticket to see the Oakley to Oakley's next month.
Oh, yes. Are you going?
Yeah, I already bought tickets. Good. It's going to be great.
Okay, good. Good. I know that we're going to buy tickets. Oakley to Oakley is another band. Free promo, but also give us other things.
They're a Ned Flanders-themed metal band. Just look them up. Or watch what is currently the most recent episode of The Simpsons, because they were actually on it.
No way.
Yeah, it cuts to black, and then they just show them performing stuff. April 7th was the most recent episode as of now. Mm-hmm. Watch it. You'll love it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But okay, back on track.
Also, look out for Red, White, and Blood.
Yes, Bruiser's Revenge.
Busters. No. Bruiser's Revenge. Bruiser's Revenge, coming to theaters near you in 3D.
Ooh. Oh, God. I'm not editing this episode.
No!
This is just going on just as is.
We are talking about Arnold.
Yes. So, back on topic then.
I like a lot of things, and they're all bad. Yes. Sorry, everyone.
But okay, so back on topic.
Yeah.
So let's move into the Big G, Little G section.
Mm-hmm.
Big G is how the lessons you learned from Arnold are good for the world. Little G is how they've been good for you specifically.
I definitely think for the Big G, it's Arnold is the show, you know, as a whole, is those lessons are good for the world just because it's a lot of just be a good person. Whether it's you're rich, you're poor, you can provide a material thing, people. You can't provide a material thing. It's just one of those things where you have the ability to do good and you have the wherewithal to be a person where you can provide advice or just a listening ear, whether you can connect, you know, a person with their long lost loved one, whether you can provide them with just companionship. I feel like, you know, in this day and age, a lot of compassion in some places are lacking, and, you know, it's just nice to know that you can matter in the smallest or the grandiose ways that you can. And that is something that I feel that the world needs a little bit of. And they need a little bit of football-headed kindness and just to be able to know that whatever you can provide, whatever it is, to do the best you can with what you have at the moment, whether it is a conversation, whether it is being able to talk to this bully or to talk to someone that you never thought you'd ever talk to or ever have any common ground with, you might find that, you know what, I completely understand where you're coming from. And definitely with the Little G, how the lessons of the character mean for me, I feel that a lot of Arnold's lessons for me really resonate in the sense of I carry on that mantra of someone has to be the good person in this equation. Someone has to look at the bigger picture. Someone has to take a step back and really understand how this could look to someone, how this could mean the world to someone. Not saying you have to go out of your way and be this hero for every person you meet, because that's just impossible. We all have jobs. We all have rent. I am
not fourth graders.
I'm not fourth graders. You know what? They have a lot of time.
Yeah.
They have a lot of time, and I envy it. Give me your youth. And it's one of those things where sometimes just stopping and helping someone pick up something that they dropped or having someone just talk your ear off for 2 minutes because they really needed it is just something that sticks with me. And it's just, you know, not being a shitty person. And, you know, everyone has bad days. And Arnold on the show has bad days where he is not the kindest self that he is. He's not I'm going through something too, but at the end of it, he realizes that, oh, well, they don't know that. That's not their problem.
Right.
Oh, let me figure out how to have a common ground of it. So that's something where it really resonates with me on a daily, definitely.
All right, so then with that in mind, if you had the ability to speak to Arnold, what would you say to him?
So many animals in that goddamn house. What is the Claritin sponsor that you have?
Zyrtec.
Oh, all of that Zyrtec just injected into the face. Is his whole football head Zyrtec?
The sides are.
Is it fluid?
That's the reason why it's shaped like
that. No one can poke it.
No.
He'll die. Everyone
he might.
Stop touching him.
He won't die, but he'll get real sniffly.
Oh. Oh, baby. Yeah. No. I won't do that. No.
He'll die. He'll die. No, he'll get the sniffles. Oh.
Oh, no. I don't want to.
If he's dead. I don't want him to be uncomfortable.
Exactly. Death is quick. Sorry.
Allergies are forever.
They are. Florida.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I would say if I met him, it would just be more of, it's such a tough question, because a lot of what he goes through is pretty much in his stories and in his episodes. If anything, I would just be, what do you feed a pig? Or, like, you know, or how do you deal with living with essentially 20 strangers that you don't know? Dealing with all those personalities and also...
And a ghost.
And a ghost. Oh, my gosh. And there's so many other ghosts they deal with, you know, during Halloween, or they go out to like, oh, I heard this place haunted. Great. Let me get my shoes.
Yeah.
That's
a white people thing.
That is. But Gerald goes.
He's friends. He has to keep them safe. He has to be the one to be like, hey, we should leave now.
Phoebe's there. It would just be interesting to know, how do you deal with these relationships? Or, like, how do you, knowing that you are so lonely in the sense of missing your parents, what makes you really that driving force? Because his grandparents are great, and they're great parental figures, but they're not really the guiding knowledge light.
No, his grandmother is.
So I feel like what made him, you know?
Yeah, his grandmother is very obvious in the early stages of dementia.
Mm-hmm. Early?
Mm.
We are on that boop boop. Like, who's the president? What's the president?
Yeah, she would randomly call him like Kimba and take him out to hunt lions and stuff.
I know.
That's an actual thing from one episode. She called him Kimba.
Oh, I didn't know Grandma was conservative.
No, like Kimba the White Lion.
I know, but still, don't hunt lions. Don't hunt lions, teens. No, but you're right. She's there, but she's not.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, everything still ends up being helpful and relevant to what Arnold's going through.
Right.
But
I feel like it's mere luck.
Yeah, it feels very coincident. Like, when the show's not the days of his life that the show doesn't cover...
Yeah.
Is a lot of like, nope, she's a karate master right now. We need to keep her indoors.
Or like, oh, there's chatter in my shoes. Guys, close all the blinds. Something's about to happen.
You yeah.
know? Like, because she thinks Thanksgiving is 4th of July. She mm-hmm. thinks 4th of July is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it's very beautiful that Phil is very, kooky. Like, oh, this is not... Hey, this is not the fridge. This is a gas station. Mm-hmm. He's very... They don't talk about it. But,
no.
But as you get older, it's like,
it's
oh,
what the notebook
no.
wishes it was.
Hey, is that a... Get the baby away from her. Get the baby. Yeah. Real quick. Can we... Imagine the notebook.
About the two of them.
It's like... Phil's like, I wrote you every day. She's like, ah! Right. What? Oh. I've been writing you all the time. It's like... No, sweetie, that's a microwave.
Also, you're dressed like a magician and a soldier from World War II. I'm not really sure why. Also, why is it a German soldier?
It's like, I'm writing my new screenplay. It's called Red, White, and Blood.
It comes back around.
And I'm like, she's the only person I trust to write the screenplay.
It's like the producers. They're going to swing Springtime for Hitler in Germany. But it'll be Will Ferrell singing it.
Oh, only one can hope. I really wish I was that.
Have you seen the remake of The Producers? With like Matthew yeah. Broderick and Nathan Lane?
Can John C. Reilly be the voice of Bruiser?
Of course.
Okay, that's the only option.
He always was. Fun fact.
John C. Reilly!
All those barks were John C. Reilly just going rough.
Check in the mail? Cool. Got it.
Yeah.
I need John C. Reilly to be the voice of Bruiser while, I guess, can you have Will Ferrell be anything else in there?
We'll recast the woman who wanted to turn the spring semester into the spring Ovester.
Mm.
We'll recast her as him.
Okay, that's fine. I think I'm okay with that. I think with, listen, I'm going through an IMDb list. Who I need to make this happen? Who do I talk to?
Catherine Bigelow. Okay. Just her. She can make the rest happen.
Reese, I need to be on board. Reese.
I promise to stop sharing a Reese Witherspoon, Reese without her spoon memes if you do this.
And I do not. And so that's where our compromise shatters.
Yes. I mean, I'll still do it just like on like Snapchat or something just where she'll never know because they disappear.
Yeah, just go on like a weird, like go on MySpace. MySpace.
Friendster.
Teens. MySpace.
It still exists. Do it.
It still exists, but it's not music. It's not a Spotify channel. Look it up.
You can be friends with this guy named Tom. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's such a stable friend.
Yes. He will always be there for you. Just don't send him a message because he won't respond. He's busy, though.
And don't dirty any of his white shirts. He needs all the one.
Yes.
He needs the one.
It's so clean.
Oh, man.
So much bleach.
But he doesn't know hugs because no one hugs him because he's afraid.
Because he's always in that weird position where his back's to you.
It's like, oh, his back is completely filthy.
Yes.
Everyone's giving him back hugs.
Yes. Gross.
Gross.
That's why you don't let your friends back hug you.
Or don't let your friends be front dirty.
That's the best advice I've ever heard. Everybody who's listening, don't let your friends be front dirty.
Don't be front dirty, all right? Don't make sure they wash their 100-acre wood twice.
Twice, like in the same shower or like morning and night?
I feel like one, like, you know, like a...
It's like shampoo, lather, rinse, repeat.
I feel like it's a Japanese bath. You gotta wash before you get in the actual bath.
Okay, that's fair.
That's a good BB antidote.
Get all the bark off it.
Get all of that bark. Get all that sap.
Yes.
What are they doing to those woods? What are they doing?
Making syrup.
Oh my god, no. There's so much syrup to be tapped. Wow, I don't know.
And forests sound dirty in this content.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, listeners, get on my Patreon. I think I'm going to let anyone who's at like the $10 level just get the uncut version of this.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Or you're welcome. I don't know.
How
weird are you?
Trust me, you want it. This is great. But okay, so using the lessons you've learned from Arnold and from this show as a whole, if you were to run into somebody who was going through a difficult time in their own lives, what kind of advice would you give them?
With Hey Arnold, if I ran into someone that was having a bummy time, a hard time, it's just one of those things where anyone that's going through a hard time, you know, be like really upset, things that are happening, and you can never have a one-all, fix-all phrase. But with me, the one thing I can really think of that comes from Hey Arnold is do the best you can with what you have that encompasses who you are. A lot of people in Hey Arnold, except for Rhonda, the Richie, you know, everyone else is basically like just a good, neutral, they have everything that they need. And there are some that are like Lila, where it's like, ooh, this half-eaten cob of corn, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like take those lessons and don't blame anyone for what it is that you don't have or that you do want and they have. Look on the bright side of it and know that whatever you're going through is not forever. Or being a person that can overcome that is such a character-driven thing in the sense of sometimes you can help someone and that soul act can change something for you, not even for them. And to make it not a selfish thing, but of more of, you know,
if I can do good, do good. And it's just such a simplistic way to view it. But I feel like a lot of things go back to the basics and being a person where, oh, I don't know if I can make a big impact. I don't know if I can save a neighborhood. I don't know if I can go and get my parents from
this South America.
For the South American jungle with all these Mayan children of the corn, you know, like ruling everything. Watch the jungle movie. Spoilers. I'm assuming if you've seen this, that you know what's going on. But I just feel like don't go into something thinking that you're going to make this grandiose tidal wave of an event happening, because sometimes you will, sometimes you won't, but you have to really start from what it is that you want to accomplish for yourself or what you want to see. And I feel like that's just an important way to think, just because as we get older and as the Zane age progresses, it's becoming a lot less selfless. And I feel like it be going back to just do good and help someone that can't help you. And that's going to define who you are. And that's why I love Hey Arnold, that I watch on the daily. Even like little snippets, even like Facebook, it gives me little clips and I have the whole entire series. And that's just something that's always stuck with me.
Okay. And since we're almost out of time now, again, thank you so much for doing this. And if you have anything you want to plug, if there's something you're working on, or just something you enjoy right now, what's something you like that you think more people should know about?
What I like that more people should know about, definitely, is I do love podcasts, and I've gotten to podcasts a lot later than everyone else because I am old, and
I just want to point out she's younger than I am.
My bones, everything eggs, dementia.
That just means it's going to rain.
Oh, look at that, guys. It's raining in Orlando.
Shocker.
It's a podcast, My Favorite Murder. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah.
I love true crime, and that's something that I'm really into. And I also just love talking about nostalgia and talking about 90s cartoons and shows, because those are the best times of my life. And it's just such a fun topic and debatable thing to talk about, not even debatable, just to talk about how much we love these characters that we grew up with, and I think that's such a beautiful thing. So, I mean, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. This was fun.
Yes, we thought of a lot of pilots.
And band names.
And band names. And the merch is coming soon.
Yes. And we're going to be manning the merch. Come say hi.
Come say hi. You know, bring your hot friends.
Yes. Yes, I'm single now. Please bring your hot friends.
I love Hey Arnold. I love that whole... I mean, like, who was your favorite?
My character?
Yeah.
I said BJ Honeycutt from MASH. But I actually...
Hey Arnold.
Oh, for Hey Arnold.
For Hey Arnold specifically.
Oh.
I was like, I've seen all of Hey Arnold. Who the fuck is Honeycutt?
No, from Hey Arnold...
Yes, yes.
I was a Gerald fan. Because Gerald was so, like... He was so, like,
cool for school.
But he still went to school.
He did. He was like, yeah, I gotta go to school. I'm too cool for this.
Actually, though, that's kind of why, though. He was, so effortlessly cool. And in so many shows, especially from that era, the cool kid was kind of a dick or just did their own thing.
Oh, where he's like, I'm gonna ditch class a day.
Yeah, where Gerald was just like, no, I'm the super cool kid who's great at telling stories and whose head kind of looks like a broom. There was an episode where somebody was looking at Gerald and Arnold and, saw both of their heads as, a broom and a football.
Yes.
So he was, the cool kid that in any other show would have been a jerk. But he was like, I'm still going to go along. Arnold's doing the right thing. Well, I don't necessarily want to do the right thing in this moment. I want to go home or this is creepy or whatever.
Anything else.
Yeah, Arnold's my friend, he's gonna do it, so I'm here for him.
I know, what's funny is that, he's a cool kid. He goes home, both of his parents are doctors.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're going to school, you asshole. You're going to school. And I'm like, oh, he's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and I do love that. I do love, and, his whole, pretty much every person in Arnold and Gerald's class had an episode.
Every kid
had an episode. Curly, Rhonda,
Stinky.
Oh, Stinky. What was it?
something soda. Just do it. Yeah. Just drink it. Yeah. You do soda. Just drink it. What was that? You remarkable boy. You who soda just drank it. He's like, move over, everyone else. And then there was like that pumpkin episode. But like, I think everyone had an episode.
Yeah. Even like the teacher who in the jungle Mr. movie,
Simmons.
Who in the jungle movie, they were finally able to have come out as
yes.
gay.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm very enthralled with. And I love that. I mean, back then, come on, guys. We knew.
Yeah, everybody knew, but they weren't able to say it.
Right. They were like, come on, put all the pieces together. Nudge, yeah. nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah, we're putting everything right here. You can figure it out. We believe in you.
Right.
But we can't tell you whether or not you're right or
we
wrong.
We cannot confirm or deny.
But confirm.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Look at those 100-acre woods. Look at his pajamas at night. Harold, I love Harold. I do hate and love Harold.
As the show goes on and you get more of an... I always like that like as they gave the viewer more of an understanding of Harold's home life and background,
yes.
we in turn... As they humanized him to us, they humanized him to the show where he became nicer.
Yes.
The more we learned about him.
Because with Helga, how he and Helga differ is that Helga, I completely understand why she wants to mash everyone's fucking faces in.
Yeah.
But with Harold, he comes from such a loving, understanding family.
Yeah, his parents were there for him. They cared. They want the best for him and were willing to do whatever it took to give him that.
Right. So him being a bully was like, wait, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
What is this all about? And it's like, oh, it's your bar mitzvah. It's
yeah.
like, and he's like, I don't want to be a man.
Didn't they imply at one episode that it was because he was made fun of for being fat? I vaguely recall that.
I think that's what it is. Like, he's always been portly.
Yeah.
And so I think with that came, oh, okay, well, I'm going to be mean. And it was always funny to see, like, you know, in the first season where his gang, like Harold's gang was Stinky. Not Curly. Stinky.
Wasn't Curly in it?
Curly wasn't a part of it. Curly was like the weird guy with the glasses that liked to like let all the animals out of the zoo.
Okay.
It was Stinky, tall, lanky guy. And then there was, he had pet frogs.
I don't remember.
But it was like three of them. And then as the series went on, they were still friends, but they weren't, let's beat up the kids. It became
yeah.
more of a, hey, I don't want to like punch everyone's faces that I see. And it was a weird, like, growing within it. And then Big Patty.
Oh, Big Patty was great.
I love Big Patty.
And the episodes with her and Harold where he kind of realized, who cares what anyone else says? If I like her,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to express those feelings.
Mm-hmm. It's like, listen, I don't care if you think she's weird. I'm weird. Fuck you guys. Obviously, the fourth grader. But you know what? If he said fuck you guys, that'd be fun.
I mean, fourth graders say it. They just don't let their parents hear teachers.
Did you curse in fourth grade?
I knew the words.
But you didn't say it.
I didn't use them conversationally, but I knew the words.
I don't think I cursed until, like, 7. But it was only because the song said it.
Yeah.
So, like, as I was saying, it wasn't me. It was somebody else.
That's true. I get that. I started saying so many new words when Forgot About Dre came out. Because I wanted to sing along, but I couldn't just... I couldn't be like, you mother, act like they forgot about Dre.
Ooh,
like,
you just gotta pick a word that, like, rhymes with it.
You mother hugger.
Your mother figure.
Figure?
It's a person that is really enthusiastic about figs.
I get that. Figs are delicious.
Figs are delicious, and they're old-timey.
Yes.
And, you
it's,
know.
It's what your grandfather has when he gives you when he's out of Werther's Originals.
Yes. Or out of those random strawberry candies that you could never find.
They were not sold in any store. They were great.
Mm.
They were delicious. They were better than Werther's Originals or figs.
They grew from the strawberry tree that you could only find in Narnia. And you had to feed a boar.
Oh, man. Old people are really good at climbing into wardrobes.
They had to walk 15 miles in the snow.
I mean, that makes sense. So in the movie, like, as soon as they go into the wardrobe, there was snow everywhere.
That's it. I'm like, oh my gosh, Al Gore was right.
He was just wrong about where it was happening.
Yeah.
Global warming's happening in Narnia. We're fine.
It's happening on planet Neptune.
The president was right. It's all been blown out of proportion.
Get off my plane, Harrison Ford. There, I want him to be there.
Hey, he's the best president.
He is the best
president. I don't know what his name was, but he beat up Gary Oldman.
Who would win a dance battle, Harrison Ford or Obama?
If Obama's in a tan suit wearing a bike helmet, Obama. Otherwise, Harrison Ford.
What if they're both wearing onesies?
Do they have butt flaps? That matters.
They're wearing butt flaps, but they're opposite butt flaps. So Harrison Ford has the left. Obama has the right.
Okay, so, like, which, they each have, like, one button, like,
yes.
Lewis, that means they're cool.
Yes.
First off, that just means that they're cool.
Yes.
But also, if we're looking at now, I'm going to say Obama.
Okay.
If we're looking at in their primes,
mm-hmm. Ooh.
Like, both of them in their prime, I think I'm going to go Harrison Ford.
Mm. With the cool factor.
Yeah.
Because Obama in his prime was in college.
Yeah.
Like, so he was like, who is this guy? He wants to be president.
Yeah, he may have been cool. I know he was cool because I've heard the audiobook. I've heard him reading, like, the audiobook version of his book that has so many, like, racial slurs and, like, so much profanity in it. And, like, his friends telling stories about him. And it's him saying all these things, reading it. I'm like, this is wonderful.
Wonderful.
Like, I never expected to hear you say that word, Mr. President.
Who would win in a dance battle? Abner from Hey Arnold? Or Bruiser?
Bruiser.
From Red, White, and
Blue. Bruiser.
Why?
Because if he was losing, Abner would disappear.
On the floor? In front? He would David Blaine us all.
There'd be...
he would just...
That's where the, what is it, romantic purge or whatever we call it comes back into play.
Ooh, the sexy purge.
Sexy purge.
Don't make this cute. It's a sexy purge.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not romantic. It's sexy.
It's full of just getting to the core of it.
Yes.
That'll also be on Patreon. Patreon. No, it's not.
If somebody wants to draw it and send it to me, I will put it on Patreon.
Don't
make it too graphic, please. I don't know if Patreon has rules.
Make it beautiful, like an old-timey mural.
Yes.
Something you'd see on the Sistine Chapel.
Yes. It's like, it could be on the wall in a Parks and Rec episode as they're walking through City Hall.
Watercolor is preferred.
Paint by numbers, or just a bruiser and apple.
Where you can't tell where something ends or begins.
That's just the beginnings of a weird, sexy purge. Legally Blonde Human Centipede crossover that we're adding in.
Oh my god, yes. Someone make that happen?
That's what happens to everyone who disappears in the purge.
You have to find them in the paint by numbers. Which number are they?
666.
Oh no!
You have to color a lot of other numbers to get to them.
You gotta use a lot of, like, black, brown Sharpies.
There's so many shades of green.
And it all smells awful. I'm thinking of, like, the smell markers.
Okay.
Ooh, it all smells like death. Dun, 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 dun.
Actually, speaking of those smell markers, though, I still think it's ridiculous that Glade or Airwick hasn't bought the rights to those. Because I would totally buy blue-scented air fresheners.
Blue?
Blue.
You were the blue one?
I mean, yellow didn't smell. I guess red.
Red, strawberry.
Yeah. No, it's not a fruit. It's color. Oh. It's like Gatorade flavors.
What flavor do you want? Red, obviously.
Yeah.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah. What's the meme? If somebody refers to Gatorade by the actual flavor name, you know they're a cop.
Or they're just uneducated.
That's true. Or too educated. That's how you know they can't relate to the common man. That's all right. Everyone who's running for president now, I'm going to show you two different colors of Gatorade. One's blue and one's light blue. And if you refer to them as anything other than that, you're out of the race. No, this is Frost Glacier Freeze. Get the fuck out.
What are you doing here?
I believed in you, Kamala.
Oh, no. Kamala. She was my favorite recruit. I believed in her. She was our Judy Hopps.
So is Beto O'Rourke the fox?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, life isn't happening right now.
Politotopia.
Oh, no.
Politopia?
Oh, no. Is it all just on fire? Is it all just burning down?
Politazoo?
I like
Zoolitics?
I like Zoolitics. That's easier on the syllables.
Okay.
I like Zoolitics. I do like that. But it has to be Jason Bateman somewhere in there.
Yeah. He's just Jason Bateman. He's not an animal. It's just Jason Bateman.
I don't know.
It's like Bill Murray in Space Jam. He's just like, no, no, I know.
Oh, like, oh, hey, Bill Murray. No, I'm in shut your mouth.
I know a Teamster. I'm here. Just don't ask.
You're just Bill Murray. All right. Do you like that? I don't know why I'm just super mean to
him. Yeah, you're being so patronizing to Bill Murray.
I don't know.
The only SNL alum we're patronizing to is Chevy Chase because he's a terrible person.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Dear Chevy Chase, if you're listening to this, and I know you are, you're a terrible person.
Get a job, Chevy Chase.
I've heard the Muppet known as Donald Glover stories about when you were filming Community. And you were so racist. You're so awful.
He's the worst. Why is he the worst, though?
What
happened?
I don't know. Maybe he was always awful, but he was just too high for us to know.
We were like, oh, he's such a funny method actor.
Yeah, it's like if Jimi Hendrix survived long enough to get sober, and we were all just like, oh, you're a dick.
Oh, he's a bad tipper. Like, it's like, oh, man, you know what?
No. You rounded it up to the next dollar and just left that? Your total was $17.93. Hey. You don't leave 7 cents as a tip, Jimi Hendrix.
Why do you touch the sky, you dick?
Why is yours the only version of the Star Spangled Banner that I can't dance to? I don't like it.
Oh, do you, like, have a nice little jig to, like, all of the Star Spangled Banner?
Yes.
Ooh, is it, like, a good, like, foxtrot?
It's only a foxtrot when Christina Aguilera sings it.
Oh, no. What about Fergie?
We don't talk about that.
Okay,
I got arrested last time.
We don't talk about the dark times?
So you've seen my dance to when Fergie
It's a lot like when Thanos snaps his fingers, everything kind of like dissipates.
I don't want to get into detail, but you've seen that picture of the black hole?
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Ooh, no. It's just a lot of disappointment.
Yeah. Like, black hole, that's cool. Someone thinks this is cooler than it is.
And that's someone's you, Dan Brown.
It is. That's only because I'm convinced that everything I do is awesome.
But it is.
To me, and that's all that matters.
In your mind's eye.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In your mind's eye. What is the tagline trailer for Red, White, and Blood?
When the law fails, the dog bites back.
Ooh. Scruff. I want the Scruff McGuffin. What's that weird drug dog?
The crime dog.
You know what
it's
about?
McGruff.
Yeah.
McGruff the crime dog.
He snuffs out. No, it's
he
not
takes
snuff.
A bite out of crime.
Snuff stuff. Guys, no. Don't look it up. Teens, stop.
Do not Google
teens,
McGruff.
Don't look up snuff.
Do not Google McGruff snuff.
Don't do it.
You'll go into some weird back part of the internet with McGruff the crime dog and snuffle up a guess, and you don't want to see it.
And if you do it, because I feel like you're going to clear your history, be when on there when you die.
Yeah.
It's like Slender Man.
No, what you especially don't want is to, like, forget about it and have your parents go to use the computer the next day. Because I can guarantee you, teens, your parents are into it.
They're so into
your
it.
Your parents think that's... They would be like, shit, we left our search history up.
And then it'll just be a weird couple of years where you're just, like, not talking to each other.
Yeah.
Or we're talking where it's like, oh... Weather, yes. And yes. Then you walk around.
They think you found their stash. You think they found your stash.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, Marshmello's Happier plays and you all burst into tears.
For no reason. And then it's a lot like, but you, but it might be a good bonding moment where you all find out you're all a sick family.
Then Eddie Murphy is the old man from Coming to America, just walks in and goes, aha.
Yeah, aha. Aha. Teens, that's a old movie.
Eddie Murphy's a guy who used to be funny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Adam Sandler. Or no, they're both still hilarious.
They're both funny. You don't get it. No,
yeah.
I'm getting defensive.
Stupid teens with your youth and longer to live than the rest of us.
But really, buy our merch.
The band is coming to your city soon.
Yes, Bushel of Boobies.
And we're going to be singing a lot of hits, Your Areola Is Normal.
It's okay that it's the same color as the rest of your boob.
Yeah, it's but that's more of like an intro.
That's the chorus line.
I was thinking about like more of an intro. Like before the CD starts.
Okay, yeah.
Weird, like, poetry slam.
That sounds like the worst.
I'm not trying to sell this band's artistic talent. We are trying to sell
If you don't like it, you just don't get it. It's like Rick and Morty. You're just not smart enough to get it. My lie that this is time-based is being called out so bad in this.
Listen, this is the extras. This is the things
bonus features.
They don't see.
Scene select.
If you're seeing this, if you're hearing this now, you're lucky.
If you're seeing this,
you're psychic and we need to talk.
Yeah, I need lottery numbers and winners of Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm. I need maiden names. I need what is like a lot of people's like a favorite first car.
Okay.
I need, you know, things.
1985 Cadillac Eldorado.
Oh man. Ooh. Is that actually your first car?
Yes, I had it for a couple weeks. My parents tried to teach me how to drive in it. My uncle gave it to me as a gift because he used to, like, restore old cars.
Okay.
And then it was just like, oh, this thing steers worse than a boat. Hmm. My parents were like, he's never going to learn how to drive if he has to learn in this thing. So then I got a Buick Century.
Ooh. So what happened to that car? Did you, like, go shoot it in the woods like Old Yeller?
No, that'd be awesome. I had to take it out. I looked at the car. I'm like, go get out of here.
And the car, like, Herbie, like, meh,
no. But nobody was driving it, so it couldn't go anywhere. It just sat there.
When you shot it to death.
With its headlights off, like it wasn't paying attention.
No. And its headlights, like, half-cast.
Yes.
Just, like, so sad.
It was. And then I didn't shoot it, though. I just pulled, let's reference another old Eddie Murphy movie. I put a banana in the tailpipe.
Oh, no. Or you drove away with it with your other car, like Fox and the Hound.
No.
I'm sorry.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Now I'm sad.
Why? Sarah McLachlan songs playing in the background.
Me and Coda are leaving that car in the dirt.
In the new car.
In a new car while just... I just get like a Bluetooth speaker and I just leave it there next to the old car. I'll buy a new one. This one's waterproof. It'll play for a while.
And then that car is fucking Christine.
What?
It fucking murders everyone. The Stephen King?
Carrie?
No, Christine. It's a Stephen King car that murders people.
Okay.
And you're like, how do you know my ex-girlfriend?
How did you know I dated a car?
I can tell in your eyes.
I'm sure.
I can tell in your eyes. Oh, Christine. You know what? I root for her sometimes.
I don't.
Okay. She's dead now.
No, she's not.
Oh, no. Oh, no?
No.
No? How is she alive? There's no gas in that gas tank.
That forest that I left her...
Is that what makes cars alive? I don't know.
Yes, it is. That forest that I left her in was the entrance to the world from Pixar's Cars.
I was going to think Evil Dead.
No, it's Cars.
Okay.
She's married to Mater now.
Makes sense. That goddamn Christine. Goddamn it.
He treats her well.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot, but he cares.
But she wants a lot.
She does. She's very high maintenance.
So I feel like she's in it for a little bit. She's not in it for love.
She goes to Car Ross and buys
Car Ross.
Buys shit that matches other things she'll never wear.
No! Now I'm rooting for Christine, Sarah.
You call her Christine. You're not ruined that hard.
She's there at Cross. She's there at Christopher Cross. And she's buying some stuff.
I'm just thinking of her now, like, putting on clothes backwards, like crisscross.
Oh, no!
But, like, when they were kids, not when they came back as, like, gangster rappers in jail with backwards jumpsuits
later. So
not when
one's dead.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Christopher Cross teams. It was a band. Well, I'm not a band. A duo.
Yeah.
a rhythmic duo.
They rapped.
Mm-hmm. And they loved vintage cars.
Yes, and wearing their clothes backwards.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know. Prove me wrong.
They won't spend 5 minutes on Google.
No.
They will read a headline. This isn't just teens, this is everyone. They'll read a headline, form an opinion, and hit share.
Yeah. There you go. Are you proud of yourself? Now I want him to fight the internet. I don't want to fight you guys.
Everyone who's not listening to this is a dick. Right now, they're talking shit about you, the listener. They're so mean.
Why are you mean? Stop being mean. Go shove a cross. Get over it.
They have last year's fashions for cheap prices.
They have last year's license tags. That's illegal.
Do you want a steering wheel cover with Betty Boop on it?
Ooh.
They got that.
Ooh. Do you want to be a fancy bitch? Do you want to let everyone know that you're down for whatever?
I mean, work's been slow since Tunes went to color.
Oh, no. Do you guys, what's another good one? Felix is the reciprocate, usually.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Felix the cat, man.
Yeah.
He is into some adventures.
He is.
And
is Weird Adventures or Strange Adventures? I forgot what the show was called. The 90s one.
Was it Strange? I think
Strange Adventures?
Strange.
Okay.
Yeah. Was a better tagline?
Oh, yeah. No, Weird was
Weird
Archie's
Adventures,
Weird
like,
Mystery.
Clear your history. Clear it. Clear it.
You're going to find out about your Bruiser Abner porn.
Who is your favorite ship for Hey Arnold?
I want to say Gerald and Phoebe just because they were so good together.
They're going to make a good Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But
such
I'm
a good Donald Glover.
But since I said Gerald was my favorite, I'm not going with him.
Okay.
With that ship.
Okay.
And instead, I'm going to go with... No, I'm going to pull one out of left field. I'm going to go Olga and Stoop Kid.
Do we ever find out how old Stoop Kid... Like, we know
he's
in
older.
High
school-ish.
Like, is he 18 and stay back? Is he, you know...
I mean, he can't really go to school much if he never leaves the stoop.
Online.
That wasn't a thing back then.
Phoenix.
University of Phoenix on...
You don't know.
Oh, I know.
Or have that, like, urban guy that yells at you, go to college, what are you waiting for? And I'm like, I don't know.
YouTube commercials tell me all great journeys start with the decision to go.
No. Olga and Stoop, I'm not against it. I'm just trying to figure out how that would work.
You can't tell me they wouldn't be cute.
He leaves his stoop, but not a lot. Like, he's like, I'll go to, like, the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
I'll go to the 7-Eleven.
But remember in the Jungle movie, he's on the stoop of, like, the U.S. Capitol building. So he's traveled.
Okay. All right. But what would be the intrigue for Olga to like Stoop Kid?
Bad
like,
boy?
That's it?
I mean, at first.
I feel like initially she wants someone established, you know?
No, she, at first, like, world traveler, but still has that edge because that's her escape from, like, her parents' expectations.
Ooh, and run then, away with me, Olga.
But it's like, it's just in the beginning just to, like, piss them off. Ooh. And then as time goes on, they start, you know what? I really like you. They 10 things I hate about you with.
Ooh. I was thinking of
or can't hardly wait. One of those two has that plot.
I was thinking of my date with the president's daughter.
Deep cut.
Ooh, I love that.
The
movie.
Fucking big brother from Boy Meets World.
I'm thinking that, where he's like, climb onto my motorcycle. And she's like, okay. And then she like drives off in the sunset.
But the seat is shaped like a stoop.
But she's the only one that has a helmet because he cares about her. But I don't think he cares about her in the beginning. And she doesn't either. She's more like, whatever, this is fine.
She asked to wear the helmet in the beginning, and he's like, fine. And then later on, he surprises her with her own helmet.
Ooh.
It's a super romantic moment.
It's super cute. It's not a meet cute, but it's super like...
It's a date cute.
Oh my god, you care about me? It's like, whatever, it's fine. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
And then it's like... And then, like, they're, like, riding on the motorcycle, and she's, like, smiling, and he's like... She can't see him, and he's like... Smiling too. Oh
yeah.
God, I love it.
But then he turns and like scowls just so that she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And then she. Is it like a movie? Or is it like a, like, oh, this is like a three part
It's three movies. It's a shared. It's the Hey Arnold shared universe.
Oh no. They don't want to share this one.
It'll be the after credit scene of each of the movies is just the next step in the relationship of Olga and Stu Kid.
Okay, I like that. I think with mine, other than Helga and Arnold, which I do support, I think a good film for me, like a good like ship is for it's Harold and Big Patty. They're a fucking wrestling team ready to fucking happen.
That's true. And they were adorable together when they slow danced and they left room for Jesus.
Oh, all that room. Jesus was like, you guys, what are you doing? Like, I can leave. Like, yeah. I'm like, you guys explore what it is you need to explore.
Yeah, you're in fourth grade. You're at that time. It's okay.
It's okay. And it's like, cast a ghost out.
Okay, this recording has gone on for way too long. So, bye everybody. Thanks for listening and tune in next week for another awesome episode. Bye.
Bye.